tonight, if you want, you guys can turn to 2 Samuel, and chapter 11 is where I'm going to kind of base out of or start from, I guess you could say. And I'm not going to read it, but just because most of us here know the story, I'm going to go through the story in a paraphrase type of way. But in 2 Samuel chapter 11, you guys, if you don't know the story, I encourage you to read it tonight. If you need to refresh your memory on the story, then do so, but write down. If you need a pen, just raise your hand. We'll toss you a pen to write down. Or you can ask after service. We'll make sure and give the information to you. But 2 Samuel chapter 11 speaks about the story of David and Bathsheba. You know, I want to bring out some things from that. Just on my way home and at the end of work, I just began to... I'd been talking to God, of course, but I'd begin to really press in because I was like, okay, God, I need something. I need you to speak to me and tell me what you want to say tonight. And so in doing that, I feel like he gave me a story to begin with and then the scripture to back it up. But then he very clearly, I think, told me to lay the scriptural foundation first before I go into the story. So you'll understand when I get to the story. But anyway, David and Bathsheba. If you go back and you look at the story and you see King David was clearly said in scripture to be a man after God's own heart. He was just, he took down Goliath. He did so many incredibly awesome things all through the years with King Saul. Jesus himself is called the Son of David. I mean, the man is amazing. He wrote the book of Psalms. I mean, we could go on and on about all of these things. So just let's just make that clear up front. This guy was highly favored by God because of his heart. Yet, he made a mistake. He made a choice. He had a thing. And so as Christians, what I want to bring out tonight is once we get saved and we come to Jesus and we give him our heart, and even after we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we still got stuff we got to deal with. We still have things we've got to walk out. We still have to make choices, right choices. And so what I want to kind of just bring clarity to, what I felt like God was saying, is just to lay this out there. You know, the story of David in Bathsheba was he went up on the roof. It was during the time that the kings were supposed to go to battle, and he was king and he wasn't at battle. He hung back, went up on the roof. He saw Bathsheba and ended up pursuing her and a not good way, and it was a sexual sin kind of situation, and or it was that situation, and so he ended up having her husband murdered so that he could take her as a wife, and all of those things. I mean, just, you know, the sin, that's what sin does. It progresses to worse and worse and worse things. And so and this was a man after God's own heart. This was King David. I mean, you know, we think, well, you know, anybody can come to church, and there's a lot that do. A lot of us do. We can come to church and we can hide our stuff really well. But it's the people that live with us that know what our stuff is. It's us ourselves that know what our stuff is. It's God who knows what our stuff is. And so what I like about David, and you can read in Psalms, I mean, he poured his heart out after the prophet came to him and revealed it to him. He told him a story about a man who mistreated animals, and, you know, just not to get into the details of it, but he came and he told him a story that illustrated what he had done. And then David was like, okay, this man, I'm going to get him, and he needs to be done. He needs to be dealt with. And then the prophet says, well, the man is you. This is what you have done. You know, he gave him an illustration, and then he said, when he got angry, he's like, okay, now you're getting the point. And he said, you're the man. You're the one that's done this. And so David, in the Psalms, pours his heart out to God. He asks for forgiveness. He does that. And so as believers, we have to take the attitude of always believing that God is forgiving, always believing that His heart for us is good, because it is. His heart is good. He will forgive us time after time after time. However, our heart can never become, oh, well, He'll just forgive me. I can do whatever I want. Do you know what I'm saying? We can't go there. That is not right. It's not any more right than the other direction. So, with that said, we've got to have the heart that knows that God is always willing and ready to forgive, that He loves us, that He's for us, and that not even King David himself was exempt from this struggle. And so, with that said, you know, it's very clear in the Scripture, and when we see this, that our attitude has to be to fight. Our attitude can never be to just lay down and give up and have the attitude of, well, I'm under grace, not law, so I can just, these things, or I can have these few things, and that's, you know, these are the things I struggle with the most, so I'll just leave them alone, and I'll just go on with it. I'll hide this from the main crowd, and I'll just go on with life and do the Christian thing and be a believer and whatever. No, we can't have that attitude. Why? Because if you look at the life of King David, he paid a heavy price. He paid a heavy price for his sin. Now, was he loved by God? Absolutely. Was he favored by God? Absolutely. Was he still the king and all of those things? Absolutely. God's grace, yes, covers us. But that doesn't mean that sin doesn't come with a price. So we can never get to the place where we get the attitude of, well, I struggle with rage, or I struggle with anger, or I struggle with sexual sin, so I'm just going to, you know, continue on, and I'm just going to live with it, and it's going to be okay. No, it's not. We have to take the mentality that, yes, if we mess up, God forgives us, but we must get back up and ask for forgiveness. And just like in the Psalms where David poured his heart out to God, please forgive me, and go on and keep fighting until we get freedom. Because the Holy Spirit is given to us to set us free, to help us through the things that we struggle with. In our Christian walk, some things we're delivered from instantly. When we come to Jesus and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, some things just instantly, boom, they're gone. The desire, the struggle is gone. But there's other things, sometimes, most times, probably all the time, for most of us, if you want to be real, that we continue to struggle with. And I really think that there's a reason for that. Do I understand it? No. I'm not going to go into the theology of that because I can't, or I won't. But I'm going to say this. I believe that it's supposed to develop a heart in us to fight. It's supposed to reveal if we're going to be overcomers or not. That's our choice. It's our choice to overcome the things that we struggle with. As believers, it reveals our heart. Are we going to give up along the way? Are we going to quit? Or are we going to continue to get up, dust ourselves off, pour our heart out to God for forgiveness, and go back and make things right when we can, and continue to fight against those things that would take us down, like what caused David pain and what caused him to fall? Now, if you look at, I was thinking about this, because this is just to clarify that we all have different issues and that we need to fight even after becoming believers. Look at King David, that he fell, because you know, it's easy to think, well, this was an issue that men struggle with and all men struggle with. No. Case in point in Scripture is this, Joseph. Joseph, period. If you know the story, enough said. Think about it. Joseph was faced with a much, much easier opportunity. Mm-hmm. When Potiphar's wife grabbed him and tried to, you know, jump on him and make him whatever, and he left his clothes and run out of there naked, he ran the other way. So we all have different struggles. Obviously, Joseph's struggle wasn't in that area. It had to be in another area. Do you know what I'm saying? So we all have different issues, different struggles. The issue is this, or what I want to bring out is this, is whatever that vice is, whatever that thing is that's left to struggle with, are you fighting it or have you just given up? And if you've just given up, then get up. Get up and fight. Don't let it rule you. The scripture tells us not to let sin rule over us. Jesus is supposed to rule over us. And our freedom is found in Him. And Proverbs 5:22, I want to read this. Turn there real quick. Proverbs 5:22 and 23. Well, let me start at 21. 21 through 23 of Proverbs chapter 5 says this: "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." Sin wraps around us. It entangles us. It pulls us down. It ultimately is for our destruction. How many men and women of God can we think of that have fallen, that have messed up, and how much destruction comes from that? To endure to the end is the goal. How do you do that? We continue to fight whatever the issues are in our lives that would take us down. We continue to believe God. We can continue to ask for prayer. We continue to get accountability partners and confess our sins one to another with someone who's not going to go out and spread our business. Amen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Be clear. So, we fight. We believe, we pray, we continue to pour our heart out, we continue to press in, we continue to believe God. We don't give up in that. You know, Jared told me a quote this week, and I really like this quote. It was actually by Bruce Lee who said it. But he said this: "Don't fear the man who knows 1,000 moves, but rather fear the man who knows 3 moves and has practiced them 1,000 times."
Whoa, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
That's fighting. Find those things and practice till you get victory in them. And then move to the next thing. Get victory in it. Then move to the next thing and get victory in it. Don't focus on 1,000 things. Focus on a few and get victory from it and over it. All right. Foundation laid. I'm going to move on to the story while Paula hangs her head. But I felt like God was telling me to do this because I want this to be clear. I want it to come home, and I really feel like God said it. So if I'm stepping in it by doing this, then you know, hey, I don't know. Maybe I misheard. It's possible. But here's the thing. No. Oh no. Okay, let's move on. period. Start new sentence. All right. Listen. To illustrate this, I really felt like this was a good illustration. And it's a good illustration. Okay, so our sin, our struggles, the things that are issues to us, that if we get an attitude that it's okay and we just move on and continue life like normal and just, you know, hey, let's shuffle this to the side and ignore it. You know, many times everyone around us can see it, especially those who are close to us. You know, if we go to our job, the people that we spend the most time with eventually will see those things, whatever they are, come out. Okay? And the people closest to us really know the stuff. And God, of course, knows whatever it is, right? So the attitude is to fight. The attitude is never to become complacent and go, well, it's just okay, and just sit down and just say, oh, whatever. This is how it is. No, it doesn't have to be how it is. So to illustrate this, I felt like this story was, I can't say appropriate, but, you know, hey. I went to work for this company I'm working for now, and it was one of the first jobs that I did for them. And I'm working on this house, and it's in a neighborhood, and the houses are pretty close together. You know, from basically where Miss Mary's sitting to that wall is the separation between each house. And there's no privacy fences between them. It's just a chain link fence. That's it. And about this high chain link fence. So I go to set my tools up behind the house at the job. And I'm coming around to the back of the house, and I hear water running. And I look over, and there's a 85, 86, I don't know, mid-80s year old lady filling her bird bath in her birthday suit. Not a shred of anything on.
Oh my goodness.
And at first I looked and I thought, no, that's not real. I went and put my tools down, and I'm thinking, it's just a bodysuit. It's, you know, I'm thinking Miss Dubfire, you know, it's just not real. So I go and I put my tools down, and I think, there's no way that's real. And I'm not going to look again to find out. I mean, just not. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, help me. And so I put my stuff down, and I just start working continually throughout the day with my back facing that direction on purpose, because I just don't know what's going on. And I'm still in shock that in wondering if it's real. So I'm going and don't want to know if it's real. I mean, you know, that's good. Okay, let's move on. So about 2 o'clock that afternoon, apparently she went back in because, you know, there was nothing else. I never heard anything else. No other noise. I'm replacing rotten siding up along the bottom of the back of this house about so far up. And I of course, started over here, but when I didn't hear anything else, I went back over here to start and get quickly to that end. So just in case, I, you know, just didn't know. So I get done, or I'm actually still working. About 2 o'clock rolls around, and I looked over at one point around 1 o'clock after lunch sometime, because I go to lunch and I come back and I just glance over, and there's a lawn chair sitting in the backyard facing the direction of the house I'm working on. Empty. Nobody in it. Nothing. Nobody in it. So I'm like, oh, whew. Okay. Maybe she knows I'm working here now and that's not going to happen again. Well, about 2 o'clock, I hear a noise. And just out of, you know, just look over, and she's sitting in that chair. Nothing on. Birthday suit. Nothing. From 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, she stayed right there. So, of course, I'm back this direction. I'm working backwards. I'm even picking up my tools, walking backwards. I mean, like, traumatic experience is not even a strong enough word for what this was. So I get done, and I'm like, I can't wait to get out of there. So I start grabbing all my tools and like throwing them over to the other side of the house in a pile, and then I'm grabbing them up and I'm hauling them around, and I hear footsteps, and
And I'm like, oh, please, Jesus, please.
And I glance up, and she is leaning on the chain link fence. And I hear, excuse me, sir. I ignored it. I was just like, I'm not even. So after about 3 or 4 times of that, I finally said, ma'am, what do you want? With my back to her. Like, I'm just not going to look. That's enough. So I said, ma'am, what do you want? Well, I need some work done on my house. Do you work for yourself or for a company? I work for a company. My boss's name is this. This is the phone number. Call them. I mean, just bam, right to the point, not looking that way at all. And then she says, well, does it make you uncomfortable that I'm in the nude? And I was like, yes, ma'am, very much so. Very much so. Goodbye. I mean, there's no way to be nice in that situation. And I wasn't rude in my tone. I just, you know, I'm going out of there. I don't know if something's off in her head. I don't know what's going on. I don't know anything. So I go around, I get everything in the van, and I go to one of the neighbors. That one of the neighbors is responsible for letting us in the house to do the work and everything. And I go and I talk to him about it. Like, hey, what's going on? You know, is this a normal thing? I mean, what's going on? So apparently to the neighborhood, it is a normal thing. She goes out every day at a certain, when it's warm enough, and sits in the sun. And all the neighbors know about it, and they just ignore it or whatever. And it's, to them, it's become a normal thing. Not normal, but it's what they're doing. Okay, so still to this day happening. So what do I want to bring out of that? I want to bring out of that this: our stuff, you know, the scripture says that we're supposed to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself, right? So we should want to get free from our sin because of our love for God and our love for people. Because it harms people. I mean, for me, that was a traumatic experience. For those neighbors who have to live with that daily, that is traumatic. And beyond that, I don't even know what the word to use is, but you also got to think that people around us, close to us, after a while will settle into that place that, well, this is just the way it is, and let it be, like those neighbors did. So just because the people around you that see it aren't saying anything, don't mean it ain't ugly. I don't know. I'm sorry, maybe it's a bad word to use, but
no, 87 years old.
I didn't know tattoos ran. Just saying.
Well, they are.
But, you know. Anyway, do you get my point, though? I mean, do you really? Like, seriously, I know this is a funny story, but do you understand? We really have to take it and think about it. And I wanted to use that story so that we don't forget. That stuff, when people that haven't given up on the situation come around, it's a shock if they see it. Do you get what I'm saying? And for people that have given up on the situation, they're going to have to endure that for how long? So if we love our neighbor, if we love our family, if we love our friends, if we love our church, if we love our city, if we love God, then we'll fight to be free. We'll put our whole heart into freedom. We'll put our whole heart into living for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
It does.
Because it's our choice. And when we've got issues that are painful to others, situations like that that are extreme, you would think there's no way. It's happening right now. I mean, when the sun's out and it's warm enough, it's like clockwork, according to the neighbor. And so our issues that we need freedom from and can be free from, that are like cycles, that are like clockwork, that are triggered by things, that are, you know what I'm saying? That come up continually. Let me tell you, yes, we can be free from them. Completely. That Jesus made that available to us through the Holy Ghost, whom He sent in His place to be our helper, to teach us all things and to lead us to freedom and to fill us and give us power and authority and freedom from sin. Yes, His grace covers us. Absolutely. But that doesn't give us the right, or it doesn't make it okay for us to go, it's okay. No. If I love my brother, if I love my neighbor, and if I love God, and I love my family, then I'm willing to do whatever it takes to become everything God has destined for me to be. Yes. Same for you. God has a destiny and a calling. He wants to get you to a certain becoming point of who He's created you to be. And our heart in that, our attitude in that, is key. It's huge. I mean, if in sin issues we take the attitude of sitting in the lawn chair every day with nothing on, do you know what I'm saying? It's like that. It very much is like that. Or if we take the attitude of fighting, getting up and being free, putting some clothes on in Jesus' name. You know what I'm saying? Fighting for what's right. Fighting to become who God called us to be. That's it. That's what we have to do. Why? Well, not just for ourselves, for our loved ones,
yes,
for our city, for Jesus. Because He sees it. He sees everything. The people closest to us see a lot. People at our work see more than most. If you ever get to the point where you think no one cares or no one sees it, then something's wrong. That's a cold heart. And I ask right now, if there's any of us in any area in that place, Jesus, warm our heart.
Yes.
Take that heart, put it in Your hands, massage it, yes, back to life. Warm that area of our hearts. And so, Father God, if you guys want to stand up, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, I just lift up to You. I lift up to You my heart first, most importantly. And I ask those of you here to just think. We all know what the things are. We all know. And if you don't know, it don't take long to figure it out. Just ask the Holy Spirit. But let Him deal with one thing at a time. But most importantly of all, take the heart and the attitude of a fighter. Be like Joseph and run.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Was it embarrassing when He did it? Yeah. But He did it. Fight the good fight of faith. That's what the Scripture tells us to do. What does that mean? That means we're supposed to fight spiritually for other people. We're supposed to fight spiritually for ourselves to be free. You know what? He said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, if we love ourselves, part of loving ourselves is wanting to be free from those things that cause pain. Why? So it helps us and it helps everyone we encounter. Because when we get free from stuff, we can help other people. But more importantly than that, we won't hurt other people anymore in that particular area. We won't traumatize people anymore in that particular thing. Do you know what I'm saying? So Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Father, for what you said tonight, just for the message, God. And I pray, God, that you would sink into our hearts, God, what you want sunk into our hearts. God, any part of it that was me, take it out. If there is any, God, I just ask you to take that away. But make the heart of the message true, real, and clear to us, God, that we've got to fight for freedom. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would release to us, each of us, God, as those things are highlighted in our minds, God, as we're thinking right now of when we fly off the handle in rage or anger, or when we talk to people like they're stupid, or we talk to loved ones like that, or we do things that are inappropriate, or if we're struggling with things that are sinful issues, God, all of those things, whatever they are, and they're each unique and each individual to us, God, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would become our helper for each and every single person here tonight. God, I pray that you would help us to be free, that you would release your power, God, that you would release a revelation of how to fight, that you would release a revelation, God, of how to be free. And God, most importantly of all, that you would warm that area or part of our heart that may be cold and indifferent. God, like those neighbors who go, well, that's just the way she is. No. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. God, I pray that you would speak to us, show us, and warm our heart to want to fight again if we're not fighting. Any of us, all of us, highlight those areas to us, as we already probably know. But more importantly than letting us know, God, because I think we already do, God, I pray that you would give us boldness, strength, power, faith to be free. That you would release freedom, that you would release the heart of a champion, the heart of a lion to fight. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. God, I just release that over everyone here.
Yes.
And God, I just...
Yes, Lord Jesus.
I just thank you, Father. I thank you. Yes. I thank you for the truth and the revelation that you paid the price, that your grace is sufficient for us, that you love us no matter how many times we mess up, no matter how many times we fall down, and that you're always there to encourage us to get back up, dust ourselves off, and go again and again. And so, Father, I pray that we would have the heart that continually will press forward to freedom, that will continually push to be free, that will be motivated by love for others and love for you. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.